Hello and welcome to Real World HR, the podcast putting the human back into HR. I'm Louise Kennedy, a HR expert, chartered CIPD professional and founder of award-winning HR consultancy Oculus HR. In the Real World HR podcast, we focus on people and business, telling the stories that we've learned from and explaining the processes which have supported the solutions. In this episode today, I'm joined by Claire, who's one of our team over at Oculus HR. We've worked together over the last couple of years, and Claire's work within the business has been a HR consultant, working with many of our different clients and working not just on our transactional side of things, but also what we class as being our added value. So, Claire, do you just want to start off by, we've talked about this before, but just a little bit of experience that you've got prior to coming to your amazing role that you have at Oculus HR?
Absolutely. So the background to today, so I've been in HR for 25 years now. Started off in Boots. I don't think anyone ever really chooses HR as a career particularly. I think you end
up I chose it actually.
I fell into it by doing different things, but actually covering a lot of different areas within HR. So I think there's not just a one size fits all, and there's lots of different elements to it. So I think I cut my teeth in HR when I worked for Boots. So I was there a huge length of time for that and did various different roles from recruiting, supporting people in the business, talent development, as well as the transactional work that you do. After leaving Boots, I then went to Capita and did some very similar roles within the public and private sector. And then I've done some talent acquisition work and merger of businesses before ending up at Oculus HR. So varied different businesses that I've worked with to get there. But I think it's about the people that have been in the businesses and what I've done to support them and grow and drive the business forward with the people that they've had in the businesses.
Great. So a lot of what we do with Oculus HR is around kind of the transactional side of things, isn't it? You know, we kind of work with businesses, anyone from kind of the first employee, wants to take their first employee on, they want to make sure that they're doing it right. And we very much hold the hand through a process of whether it's policies, procedures, contractual side of things, whether it's around supporting them because they've had a grievance put in or they need an investigation taking place or being in an unfortunate situation where they've got redundancies that need to happen. So we very much kind of hold the hands through that process of the employee life cycle more than anything else. I think what we've certainly realised over the last few years is that actually it's not just about that transactional element of it, which is vital and it's important and it's an amazing starting point. But actually, the companies that we're dealing with do need to start thinking around areas such as culture, thinking about the people that they've got engaged within the business, the people strategy, about the succession planning, and really the points that you just made there around kind of the talent and how to look after them within the businesses there as well. So we're certainly seeing a change of that, aren't we? We're seeing a change of the need for it, but also of the interest and the appetite from our clients to do that type of work as well?
Yeah, I think there's a definite want. I think for me, the transactional work that we do is an absolute must to have those foundations in place because we can't do any of the value adding if we haven't got that. So we need to know they've got employment contracts, we need to know they've got policies and procedures, they've got a handbook, and then we can start building on that. So what does their structure look like? What is their strategy? How are they going to engage their people? How are they going to retain their people? And what are they doing with them whilst they're working in the business to enable them to be the best they can be? And I think lots of conversations that we're having lately is around how do we help people be the best they can be? What is it that we need to do? We want to keep them. We know recruitment is really challenging in lots of sectors. So actually, why don't we develop our own internal talent to keep them? And what does that do? And also, lots of businesses are in growth, aren't they? They're driving forward. And actually, when you've got your first employee and you've grown that business to get bigger, it's hard to keep your hands around it. And actually, what you need is more structure in place to enable those things to happen and for the business to flourish, to really grow. And when you're starting that business off, you really are thinking about the nuts and bolts of it, which is the foundation size we're talking about. But then once you've got that established, it's how do we then take it forward? And that's where we can come in and support them with those different areas and elements of it.
So taking it kind of back a couple of steps there. So obviously from a transactional point of view, as you say, kind of very, very important, it's essential that a business has that in place. When do you think is a good time for a company to start thinking about their culture? Because it's not on your agenda on taking your first employee on, it's not particularly on your agenda kind of, you know, five employees down the line. Where do you think it's most appropriate that people start thinking a little bit more about, you know, the workforce and the people that are in there and creating the culture that they want?
I think there's many places where people can start to do that. really, lots of businesses need to think about when they're recruiting, because actually what kind of people are they recruiting into their business? What does it stand for? Employees are the greatest advocates of businesses, aren't they? So actually, if you're recruiting the right people in, what does that look and feel like for you? How do they represent your brand? They're going to market that out. What are they going to say to their friends when they've joined your business? What is it you want them to say, and what are the highlights of it? So I think there's really starting to think about it at that stage, but you're right, it's more, how do we get the business up and running? What is it going to feel like to kind of get, you know, new clients, new customers, new products out there, whatever that business is. I think it's then, once you're starting to get into double figures of employees, you really need to start to think about, how do you drive that business forward? How do you get the people in, and how do you get them to drive that business forward for you? Because you can't do everything. And I think leaders that are trying to do everything, it will come to a place where you're struggling because you can't continue to do that. So I think once you're kind of into that, employees around 10, I think you really start thinking about, when you really, your business is kind of in that 12 to 18 month stage. If you're in a startup business and it's growing really, really quickly, it might be before that, but actually around that time, what is it that you're starting to do? How are you doing things? And what are you doing to go out and drive your business forward? And if you're doing that, what do you need other people to do internally to keep your business ticking over in those business as usual things?
Yeah. And I think one of the important aspects of what we're talking about there is, when we're talking about, you know, you're growing a business and you want the right people to come in, and you want them to be really the right cultural fit for you, as opposed to kind of the technical fit. Yeah. You know, you can train people to do the technical element of it, but it needs to be very much around the cultural side of things. And I know we've worked with businesses where they'll say, you know, well, we've got a great culture, but they can't identify what the culture actually is. It's about identifying the culture, but it's also about the message that you put out there in the public domain, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you think about that, kind of from a point of view of identifying the culture internally, but also about how to get that message out there? Because ultimately, you want to be known, and, you know, you want to be able to make sure that people coming through your door are kind of what you're known for. And I know that you were in the office the other day with our kind of new recruit, with Rebecca, and I'd said to her, kind of, you know, our perception of what we're, you know, what we are external, is that what we are internal as well, other than the little bit more chaos that kind of takes place, as it does in any business. But she kind of was in agreement that actually that's, you know, we are what we see on the tin, so it speaks. So, and I think that was really interesting. I don't know why I asked that question at the time when I did, but it is important, that, isn't it? Because we're putting, from our point of view, we put kind of an image out there, and actually you want to be the image, and you want to be living by what the image is that you're putting out there. You don't want to be a different element of it. So
no, you've got to kind of be, as you say, what you say, you know, we are what we are on the tin, and people need to really think about that. I think anyone joining a business or looking to work or partner a business, look to see, what does it feel like in there? What are people saying? And I don't mean necessarily through things like Glassdoor or anything like that. I mean, when they're talking to the people, and how do you get them to be those advocates, and how do you get them to understand, this is an amazing place to work, and this is what we stand for? Because that's what people want to know. What does this business stand for? What do the people in this business stand for? And actually, reputation is huge, and a business can thrive or die on their reputation and the image that they put out there, and people are looking for that. So you're looking to kind of demonstrate your brand image through your people and through your marketing and how people can perceive you. And actually, is it accurate? Is it perception that you're one thing, and actually the reality of working in the business is something slightly different or totally different? And actually, why would that not measure up? Because it's about trust. People buy into a brand, or people buy into people. And so what people are looking for when they're out and about, looking to go, well, do I want to be known with that business? What's that reputation? How are they seen out in the public domain? What does their marketing look like? What are people saying about them? People do lots of research these days to see what's going on, and actually, is that the image that you want your business to be portrayed, and what would your people say about it?
Yeah, and I think that's all so many relevant points. So if we're kind of talking through that life cycle side of things, you know, for a business to understand the culture so they can promote what their culture is externally and internally, you know, and that'll make an impact from a customer point of view, but also from a recruitment point of view and being able to bring people through the door. Then kind of on day one, someone turns up, kind of what experience do you think people should have at that point? You know, it's day one, they turn up to a business, and we all see the post on LinkedIn whereby, you know, there's kind of a computer and things set up there. But actually, it's more than just having a computer and a setup at a desk, isn't it? You know,
absolutely.
We've talked about it so many times. What do you think that experience should be, you know, for somebody on that day one, or really day one slash first week experience in a new role?
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's actually before day one, isn't it? So, you know, businesses go through a really robust recruitment process and they get to a place where they think the offer is the final stage of that, where actually it's the beginning of the journey of someone starting with their business. So actually, how do you keep in touch with that person? Because if they've got a notice period, there's that gap, isn't there, from we've made the offer, here's your paperwork, you know, sign your contract, and then there could be this radio silence, and then someone turns up on day one and what does that look and feel like? How are they feeling? You know, they'll be nervous, are they apprehensive? So actually,
I think just before you go on with that, obviously we've got somebody on kind of a 3 months notice period that we're waiting to start with as well, and that's been an active conversation for us, hasn't it?
How do we
keep the conversations going? You know, it doesn't start until the 1st of July. Notice has been put in since end of March, and that is a significant period of time when you want to keep someone warm and you want to keep the interest of it. It's so important to do though as well, isn't it? Because you say if there's radio silence from both parties, people lose interest. They might think, well, I'll look somewhere else, or kind of, you know, the momentum isn't there, is it?
And it's also an insight into the culture, isn't it, from even that period of time? Because actually, as you say, we're trying to really make sure we keep active with the person who's going to join with us. You know, it's really important they understand what's going on. We want to build that relationship with them. And I think by the time you get to day one, you don't want it to be moment of walking in the building. It's, well, what's that going to feel like? So if you've done a little bit of that conversation, that building relationship before day one should be really comfortable for both the new person joining and the people that are they're going to join the business with. But I think for me, it's not about a laptop, it's not about a water bottle, it's not about, you know, a welcome pack. It's about how do you feel on that day, what's been set up for that week, what's the onboarding like, how are we inducting this person into the business to enable them to feel great. People make a decision within the first 3 weeks whether or not they're going to stay with the business. So think about, that's 15 working days as a maximum, yeah. Really.
Which isn't long, isn't it?
No. So actually, what does it feel like on the first day? Is there someone there to meet them? Have you asked them to come in at a time slightly later than the normal work time? Because if you're coming on a Monday morning, it's all really busy, people are catching up after the weekend, and you've got someone new standing there not knowing where to go, what to do, and they're fobbed off, or they just go and sit over there, your laptop's there. How's that going to feel? Actually, it's about booking some time in. How are you going to greet them on the first day? Where are you going to be with them? Have you set a buddy up for them? You know, what does it look like? Have you organised so that they don't sit and have lunch on their own? Those little things are the things that people will remember. What is it, the conversation you want that person to go home on day one to say when they're having food with their family, their partner, their friends about day one? And what does the rest of that week look like? And then how does it continue on in their probationary period? Because probationary periods are really a bit of a trial for both the company and the individual to see if this relationship's going to work, and actually what you described and sold in the job in the interview process, does that come to fruition, and does that person have the capability to do the job, and does that match? Because sometimes people are, it doesn't match for whatever reason. So it's that onboarding, that induction and that probationary period are absolutely key to finding the right fit for the individual and the business.
Yeah, and it is just having those regular review points during that period of time, isn't it? You know, even really importantly, having a job description for somebody so they know what they're working from, or certainly explaining what the expectations are, not necessarily KPIs or objectives at that point, because obviously kind of new into it, but what their expectations are. Because we do come across situations where people say, well, they're not very good at the job, but they haven't actually got a job description. Nobody's ever done a review with them during the probation period. And they've really been set up to fail, which is not a term that I like really, but it's kind of, they have been set up to fail because it hasn't been the relevance of support during that period.
No, and I think it is literally, if someone's just been brought in and, you know, they filled the gap and then they're just left to kind of get on with it, how does that look and feel? How do they know if they're delivering what is needed? How do you know if they're delivering what's needed for the business as well? And you're right, there's a number of occasions where you're asked to come in and go, oh, this person's really not good at their job. Okay, what conversations have been had? Well, no conversations. You know, we told them at the interview what the job was. Well, have you set your standards expectations? Have they got a job description? Or what are their responsibilities? How do they know if they're fulfilling them? Where are your regular reviews? And that doesn't mean that it needs to be a formal review every week, but actually a touch point. How's things going? How are you getting on with that? Is there anything you need any help with? Have you set them up with the buddy? Because sometimes it can be daunting to go to your new manager and go, I don't know what you mean by that, or that terminology doesn't make sense to me. So again, setting them up for success as opposed to setting them up for fail, what does that look and feel like in those first days and weeks for them? Because you've done a huge investment in the recruitment, why would you let yourself down by not following it through in the first few weeks?
And I think all of that's so relevant when it comes to the likes of the employee engagement, isn't it? You know, they're trying to have somebody engaged from day one, as you say, within those first 15 days, people are going to make an impression. And it's thinking about actually what, you know, you've made that investment to bring somebody on board, whatever the cost of that may be, whether you're doing it through a recruitment company, but, you know, whether it's a new role that's being created or not. But there's a financial implication of bringing somebody new into the business, and it's really important to make sure that it therefore works. So really, employment engagement is an important aspect of it, and kind of setting out what it is that you want and what employee journey you want people to have, but the employee experience that you want them to have as well, isn't it? So that can be looking at things about, you know, it might be a probation period, or it might be your performance review at the end of their first year, or where, whenever that may be. And it might be about things like looking at what do they want for the future, what's their future plans, a succession plan within the business. Do you want to just talk a little bit more around that side of things?
Yeah, so I think it's really important. I think, you know, lots of people come and join businesses for a career. Some people join for a job, and it's there, you know, to pay their way from a home perspective, and, you know, it's something that they enjoy or something that they've got some experience in. And some people come for a career and they really want to see where that progression's going to be. So those touch points around how they're doing in the probationary period, how they're doing in the first 6 months, how they're doing in the first year is really important to them. They want to see where can their development, their personal development and their business development get to. And I think what's really important from a leadership perspective is, can you spot talent? What does good look like? Sometimes people are promoted accidentally, and we've had, you know, a lot of experience in the accidental manager where, you know, they maybe have been there the longest, or you're promoted because you've got the longest length of service, or you're promoted because you stood in when there was an emergency, or where you take the keys home and that's given a level of responsibility. But actually to then be a people leader and understand what that means, and that investment of time is very, very different. So actually, have you got the right people in the leadership roles? Do they know how to get the best out of their teams and their people? Do they have an opportunity to talk to people about what are you looking for? What would you like to do? Where are your skill sets? Where would you like to develop in? You're a subject matter expert in such and such. That's great. But actually, you want to dip your toe in your water in that. Okay, well, what would we need to do to help you with that? And actually, is that a skill set that would then broaden out in your business if you're in growth? Because what you don't want is any single points of failure in your business. So it stands you in good stead to develop your own talent. And actually, it's less costly than having to go out externally. And, you know, we work with some businesses where if there's a vacancy comes up, their first port of call is, I'm going to have to get in touch with a recruitment agency, or I'm going to have to go out and externally recruit. Actually, what you want is a choice of candidates, but how amazing would it be if you've got some internal talent where you go, actually, we've nurtured that talent, we've really worked with them over the last 6 to 12 months or longer, and we really think they're ready for that role. That's an amazing, that gives a great message out to the rest of your employees about that level of engagement of going, well, I don't need to go somewhere else to get that next role in my career. And I've worked with lots of businesses over the years where people have said to me, I think I'm going to have to leave this business, work somewhere else to come back to get a higher position in this company. This is the company I want to work for. I match their values. I like their vision. I like their strategy. I like the people that I work with. But I can't get to that next level unless I go somewhere else and come back. How are we managing that talent within a business to enable them to think that's the only option? So what other options can we give?
Yeah. And I also think in years gone by, and it's one of our clients now, but years gone by, obviously, when I worked in automotive and we did succession planning really and kind of identified people that were kind of rising stars, had talent, people who we think actually had the opportunity to be able to take next steps through a business. And we kind of, we took them and we trained them and we nurtured them and we give them opportunity and we give them the opportunity at the next step. And it doesn't have to be like a massive kind of, you know, depth of a business, does it? You know, there can just be several layers within a business, but giving people the opportunity to learn and train and do more. And the particular guy that I'm talking about kind of moved through from being an operator, moved to a team leader, moved to a supervisor, got to kind of understand the quality element of it, so kind of took a sidestep within there. And obviously, as we were going through kind of a closure point of view, he took the decision to go and be a production supervisor somewhere else, production manager. And now tables come round, and obviously he's one of our clients, has been an operations manager. And from a personal point of view, obviously this has been kind of over maybe 20 years or so from my point that I've known him, but that's been fantastic to be able to see the fact that actually we made a difference on that one person's life. If I hadn't taken the chance and hadn't looked at the training opportunities for someone and hadn't seen that there was some skill set there that actually we could nurture, there's a potential that he might not be where he is now and kind of living the life that he's living. And he's so hungry and thirsty for more knowledge and experience and training that actually it's from my point of view, it is great to be able to see, because it's just such benefit out of it. And there was other people that we did that with, but obviously kind of he's the one that sticks in mind with me at the minute. And talking about someone like him, so recently we just did some emotional intelligence. So we do the assessments around emotional intelligence. And I think this has got quite a big part to play, hasn't it, with regard to management of teams, management, whether it be from director level or senior leadership level or middle management, however the structure is made up. People understanding how emotionally intelligent they are makes a big impact on the day-to-day management, doesn't it?
Oh, it's huge. And I think the peak of interest, I think, is coming through for emotional intelligence. And I don't think maybe people maybe always think of it in that context, but I think about how people's impact on others are. You need to understand yourself, that self-awareness, so that when you're working with different people and knowing how to interact with people differently, everybody's different. And actually, how do you get the best out of each other and how do they get the best out of you? You know, there's circumstances where you know I'm really better in that scenario than others. And actually, your emotional intelligence and talking about that and having that level of awareness can really make a huge difference to it. And I think it's across all levels of leadership. And I think it really helps people step up to understand that and really then to be able to develop other people, because they can then see how they interact with that person and also what can they bring and where can they nurture that to drive themselves forward for that personal development. So hugely something that I think is fundamental to teams. And I know you've obviously started to do a lot of work with that with some of the business we've got, but actually that's making a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think when you can do an assessment on it to be able to go, actually, where are you on the scale of kind of self-confidence or self-knowing, or might be about kind of how optimistic you are. And it's a lot of it's around kind of understanding yourself first, and then the impact that you can make on others kind of comes after that, because you understand yourself, you understand how you manage yourself. Then you start thinking about from a, you know, a relationships point of view, how do you interact with other people, but also how you understand other people and their own emotional intelligence as well. You know, going into a room where you can visibly see that somebody's upset about something, but actually they say, no, I'm fine, and being quite adamant that they are actually fine when actually they're not fine, you know, and you can tell that by their body language. So all of those things are so interesting, because they develop the relationships, develop the social skills that take place in the business. So I think when we're doing that work around assessments with people and doing a little bit of coaching, and then being able to do training with groups of people, whether that be kind of leaders and directors, I think there's just so many benefits that can come from that. And certainly that's the feedback from training. And even when I was talking to someone the other day, they said, oh, you know, some people are just a bit angsty when they're speaking to each other. You know, they're just kind of just a little bit, and it makes the meeting quite uncomfortable because they're not aware of the impact that they're making on other people, or the way they're presenting something or saying something isn't appropriate for a situation. So there is some real benefit around emotional intelligence and the impact within businesses as well, I think.
Huge benefit. And I think if you look at it from an emotional intelligence point of view, from a business point of view, it can also factor in people's home lives, can't it?
Without
really, that perception and that understanding. If you've got your self-awareness going into a situation where you may be frustrated, or you know, you're not seeing the other person's point of view, actually understanding where you're coming from and maybe where the other person's coming from can really kind of dissolve some of that angst and that kind of friction that, you know, people are going toe to toe. Well, actually, if I understand where you're coming from, what's important to you. So it's all that fundamental building of relationships and then understanding yourself to understand other people.
Yeah, and that even comes into play. I'm just thinking of a situation we had probably last year at some point. You know, when you've just talked about kind of the home side of things, you know, sometimes people, well, many people have got different situations that take place at home. In this particular situation, there'd been kind of an altercation in the workplace, just a verbal altercation that had taken place. But the guy who was, you know, quite a big guy, he was probably about 6'5", really broadly built. Everyone just had that expectation that you turn up for work and you do your job. But actually at home, his wife was having a breakdown. One child had been just diagnosed with autism. The other one was just being diagnosed with ADHD. And he had all of this going on, but yet he was still showing up for work every day. People at work were kind of, you know, doing their normal day-to-day banter side of things with him, how they had behaved with him before on this particular day. He just kind of, he exploded and reacted, and nobody else knew what was going on in their home life. And it is those moments where the emotional intelligence actually is really important, isn't it? That you kind of, you have that awareness, you know, when to remove yourself from something, you know, how to try and mould a situation, try and make a situation easier or better than what it could be, but also recognising the fact that actually the way that you've just behaved and the impact that you've made on other people and the upset that you've caused, there was a stop point there to be able to make a change, isn't it, and apologise to people for the circumstances. So there's so many situations, that's just kind of a situation that was kind of very ignited and very difficult as well for the business. And I think there's so many businesses just think that people should just turn up, shouldn't they? They turn up for work, they should be 100% on their game.
Yeah.
And actually, people aren't in that situation, are they? Because they've got other things
going
on.
And you don't know what's happened to that person before they've walked in the door, do you? You know, we've all got home lives, we've all got something going on in our lives, and our work lives are there to support our home lives, but actually walking through the door and putting your game face on, if you've had a really challenging morning or an evening before or a weekend, you don't know what that looks and feels like. But actually, from an emotional intelligence point of view, it's being able to read the room, it's being able to read and notice that something's different. And actually being understanding of that and choosing how you're then going to respond to it. Because we all have a choice in how we're going to respond to situations. Mm-hmm. And if you're coming at it from a, well, everyone should just be at work and just get on with it and, you know, that's it, that's going to be really challenging for somebody if they're having a difficult situation, because that's not going to bring the best out of people. Remember, really want people to be at the best they can be all of the time or most of the time when they're at work, and understand that.
And I think that comes back to, if your managers are aware of themselves and kind of know their team well, that's when they can really make a difference, isn't it? And kind of really take people through a development point and recognise and be able to help and support, which really comes under the wellbeing element of it, to be able to support your employees within the workplace.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, building those relationships and having that level of awareness can really help them. And I think wellbeing, you know, is something that we're taught into businesses alongside emotional intelligence. How do we support people? How do they get that work-life balance? What does it feel like? You know, what are the working hours like? Do you send emails all hours of the day? Are you contacting people? Actually, being really clear about, if you're working, are you expecting other people to? Or you might not expect other people to, but do they feel their need to do that? It's having that level of awareness, because people may not be able to say that out loud, because they might just think, that's the culture that we've described here. That's the culture of this business. We're expected to stretch hours. We're expected to respond to an email. No one's actually said it, but the feeling of it is that that's what's expected of us. So everybody else is doing it, I must have to do it. And actually, do you create a culture where someone go, actually, I don't think that's right. Actually, you know, I'm happy if there's an emergency to maybe be contacted, or if there's something that's really crucial or we're up against a deadline and we've talked about it, but I don't expect it to be the norm that I'm going to be contacted late on a night, on a weekend, because actually that impinges on my home life, which impacts on my wellbeing.
Yeah. And I think as part of that, I was just thinking around, really, a lot of it is around the communication, isn't it? How open the communication is within the business. You know, we talked about expectations or about people, you know, coming to work and not always being kind of on their A game as it comes through. But a lot of that comes back to the communication that comes from the business, from two-way street, isn't it? And I think
Absolutely.
If you've got that as part of your culture, then it's kind of embeds it in. Because I think, because it becomes more transparent, doesn't it? It becomes more consistent. You know, you're consistently approaching things in the same way, and people understand how the business is going to behave in a particular situation, the business as in the leaders of the business in that circumstances. What do you think around that element of it, kind of from a communication, the importance of it within the business?
Yeah, I think open communication is key. I think it's not about everybody knowing everything that's going on, because I think sometimes people think communication is, I need to know everything that's going on. There's some things that can't be discussed and some things that are private. But I think in terms of knowing what's expected of you, as you say, and the standard expectations, that you've got to communicate that. People can't guess that. You know, it's really important that people understand how the business is doing, because people worry if they don't know that. The less that's said, the more people will make the gaps up in between. And I think you talk there about transparency. People want to know what their part is in the business. They want to know what's going on and how they are part of it. Are they driving it forward? Is there any challenge in the business? Is that something that can be discussed? And actually, between leaders and their teams, it's about involving them in that. And again, you know, they might not be able to know everything, but actually, if you don't involve people in it, they then think there's something else going on, and then that's when the rumours start and the conversations change, and then it's about the relationships and about the trust, isn't it? So actually having that open communication really can drive a business forward, can really support them and really understand how to make the difference in that business. And I think if managers are not approachable because they've not got that communication skills, then that really impacts on your employee engagement. How do you then approach them if you're having a difficulty either at work or at home? If you haven't got that level of open communication with your manager or your leader, then how do you share that with them? So actually, you're then going to become resentful. And then is that a business you want to work with? And then it impacts on your retention, then impacts on your culture. Is that the culture you want your business to be known for? So it has a really huge, you know, foundation, I think, in communication and everything that a business is doing.
From the point of view of kind of the areas that we've been discussing there, it really fits under kind of a people strategy, doesn't it? What do you think is the importance of a people strategy for businesses that are grown? I mean, for any size businesses, I mean, if there's, you know, kind of they're sitting with 100 staff and quite steady way, I think it's important. But also businesses that are kind of going through that growth spell. What do you think the benefit of having a people strategy would be?
Yeah, I think it's really key to have a people strategy. People are a business's greatest asset. Whatever your business is, as we said earlier, they're the advocates of your business. They're driving it forward. They're enabling the business to grow for you to expand on your people that are joining your business. So actually, what is their part in it? What are you driving for? What is the vision? What is the, you know, values that you're standing for? Where does all this sit? Because as we've said, all of these things are intertwinable, aren't they? You know, you can't really do anything on their own. Everything leads to something else. And it's really sometimes difficult to score, well, where's your starting point? And we can talk to you about, you know, fundamentally your starting point is those contracts, those policies, those handbooks. But actually, if you've got an established business and you've got those in place, where is your starting point? Is it around, you know, understand what your culture is? Is it understand about, you know, does everyone know what is expected of them in their job? Is it about learning development? Is it about talent spotting and, you know, leadership development? All those things all fall into it. What does that look like? Have you got a plan for the next 12 months? Or is it, you know, we'll do a couple of things here, we'll dabble that. Well, actually, if you haven't got your structure right, then how can you move on to your talent spot? And if you haven't got your job descriptions right, how can you work out what your training development plan should be for the year? So it's really important to go, what are we looking for? What are we driving for? What does this year look for? How are we building on that? And actually, have we got the fundamentals in place to drive that business forward? Because if we go through a great growth spurt and we get some new clients, how are we going to cope with that? Because what you don't want to do is put pressure on your team and do burnout, or them start to really struggle and impact on that well-being and then stretch those days. Actually, what's our strategy? Are we all focused on the same things in the same direction with clear time scales?
Yeah. So a lot of that is really about really investing in the teams and the people, isn't it? And thinking about how we can bring the best out in the people. And I think having some type of clear people strategy is taken away from that day-to-day transactional side of things, but it's about putting something in place where a business can take that next step forward and can think about actually what engagement can they keep to ensure that the workforce is on the journey with them, whether it is kind of stabilised business or whether it's a growth business. But you just need to make sure that the people are on the right pathway as they take through, isn't it? And yeah. And being able to kind of be creative about what you want to do and how that would look in the future. And making sure that people are aware of, you know, that you want to invest in them to be able to keep that journey moving through there as well.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about investment in people, I don't think that's necessarily a financial investment. I think it's a time investment. I think it's about expanding their knowledge, expanding their opportunities. You know, you'll have some rising stars, as we've talked about, with some of the businesses that we've worked with in the past and that we'll work with now. Actually, you will get a huge amount from investing in those people as a payback into your business. So how do you do that? How are you investing in your people? Do they know their part to play? Do they know where the business is going forward to enable them to be at the best and your business to be at the best?
Yeah. I think all of this ties in, you know, we really see that what we class as being kind of the added value, isn't it? It's kind of, as we said at the beginning there, it's about the transaction side of things, that it's important to have all of that in place. But actually, in addition, it's very important to kind of add the extra value to be able to look after your people and make that investment in them with regard to how, as the discussion's just taken place, of how it all fits together there as well. So anytime, you know, we're more than happy to be able to have a conversation with people around how that works and how it looks within their business as well, because we're very aware it looks different from a business that's got 10 or 20 employees to ones that have got maybe 150, 200 employees. The look of that is completely different, and kind of the what support that can be provided and what the strategy could look like is also very, very different as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, every business is different. You've got some key elements in them and we've talked through some of them today, but I think actually really talking to the leaders about the business and what their culture is and what their aims are and their values, we can then help, you know, create that HR people strategy with them so that they do engage with their people, they bring them on the journey and they're really clear on what they're aiming for. I think it's really difficult to kind of work out where you're going if you haven't got your plan. And sometimes people don't know what that plan looks like, and it can evolve. And I think what you start off with and what you end up with can be very, very different. But I think those key elements along the way and those milestones to check in to see, are we where we're at? How do we check in with the teams and the people that work here that, you know, what we said at the beginning is what we're doing? You know, they will give us the sense check to do that. And we can work with people in the businesses to get to that stage and help them. And if that strategy isn't fitting the needs of the business, then how do we tweak it? How do we nudge it into a way that will give them still what they're looking for to drive that forward?
And that comes with challenge, doesn't it? You know, to be able to kind of challenge the business, the business owners, the leaders, that challenge needs to be there to enable that to be successful, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's not all plain sailing. It's not all easy. There is some stretching and challenging and sometimes uncomfortable conversations. And I think it's about having that safe place to do that. And that's okay. And, you know, there's lots of businesses that we go into and we talk to them and say, oh, we think we should have had that. And we know we haven't done that right. And we know, and we don't judge on any of that. You are where you are for whatever reasons you're at. That this is about how to build and continue to support yourselves going forward and your business to get to where you want to be. And actually what you started off with and how your business you thought you was going to be will have evolved as well. So it's meeting those needs, but there will be stretching your thinking, stretching your in your challenge. And you know, we expect to be challenged back as well, so it's not a one-way street on that.
Yeah.
You know, there may be times when you know we get challenged on it and it's going, well, is that really right for our business, and provoke thinking on both sides.
Thank you very much for listening to the Real World HR podcast today, and a massive thank you to Claire for joining me and just being able to have such a great conversation about actually how we see the landscape of HR changing and developing over the coming weeks, months and years. You can find more information about what we discussed in the episode in the show notes. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes, and please leave us a rating and review. Real World HR, putting the human back into HR. HR is so instrumental in shaping, reinforcing and changing an organisation's culture. Take our HR health check quiz to assess the efficiency of your HR operations and uncover areas for improvement. We'll then share key actions and steps you can implement to ensure you're legally compliant, supporting your employees and managers and supporting your business. It just takes 2 minutes and it's completely free. Head down to the show notes for the link.